Let's open our Bibles now to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. This is the first time in the week of creation God has said what he saw was good. And God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. We're going back into our series, Beginnings in Genesis, and we're on day 3 this week and looking at what God has created on day 3. And as we've seen in the first few verses of Genesis 1, God had a plan. And he is developing that plan, and now we have a pattern, and God is filling his creation with the pattern that he had designed from the beginning of time and before. So we're moving into that filling of the creation now with things that are living. And so we come back to this great study of the beginnings of Genesis, and let's see what God did on day 3. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study and for the Word of God, that you had the foresight and knowledge and omnipotence, but also omniscience to not only to preserve it, but to preserve it with the wisdom that we needed to know what happened back then, to dispute all of the false doctrine and the science that goes out and evolution. Lord, thank you for the truth of the Word of God that we have before us. We're not trying to read into the Word of God. We're not trying to add to the Word of God. We're just trying to see what you have preserved for us in our Holy Bible. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the third day of the creation week, God continued his work of creating the earth, a beautiful place for his creation to follow the animals and, of course, man. Before this day, though, before day 3, the whole earth was still covered in water. If you and I had been there, we would have seen nothing but water. No land mass everywhere you look. Anywhere you look, no land mass. Did you know that if you leveled out the earth's surface today, if you just could level the Rockies, level the Cascades, level the Great Smoky Mountain Range and all around the world and the Himalayas, and if you could level the earth's surface today, you'd see there's enough water in the oceans and seas to cover the earth 2 miles thick today. So there's more water than there is dry land. And it's the same thing in day 3. Right now, it's all water. But God's getting ready to call the water to separate and rise up the dry land. Each day of creation, as we progress and as we've seen, each day is dependent on the prior day's creation. You know, in this day, we're going to have flowers. We're going to have plants. We're going to have trees. What do flowers and plant life and vegetation, what do those need to grow? Well, they need light. They need water. And they need air. Well, on day 1, we saw where we were talking about the light. In day 1 and day 2, we're talking about that light. It's not the sun. This is a divine light that God has put in place, that it gives the vegetation the light that it needs prior to the sun being created. But then also we saw previously that water was separated. You know, the firmaments, as we looked at the firmaments being divided, the upper and the lower, We have the water there that the plant life, the vegetation life needs. But then we also saw last week that the air, the heavens where the birds fly, the stratospheres, where the planes fly eventually, but also into the heavenly, and we have air. We have everything we need, the carbon dioxide, the nitrogen, the oxygen, everything that mankind and plant life needs is there. So even though we're at day three, everything follows a plan, a divine plan. Even on the third day, God is going to create dry land, dry ground for the plants to grow before He creates plants. He doesn't do anything backwards. Everything is on purpose. So days one and two and three are creating the environment for God's creation. All seeds, all plants, all trees, they all need that light, water, and air. So let's go back to the Word of God and look at this dry land in verse 9. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. We have this division, this separation, if you will, of the water, allowing it to separate or divide so that the dry land could rise up. The dry land was here. The land was here. It was part of creation. When He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it was already here, but it's covered with water. So it's going to be rose up out of the waters. Suddenly, if we were witness to this, suddenly large areas of the waters, great stretches of land would be rising up and now visible. And God calls it earth. At the same time, there will be other portions of the waters that will sink in to valleys and into basins so that the water can drain off of the dry earth. God did all this by the power of His Word. It said in verse 9, and God said. The power of God's spoken Word. The Bible does not tell us how many continents there were here. You know, a lot of scientists try to interject here about the one continent system and then it broke up at the flood. We don't have that in our Bible. It doesn't tell us that. What we have is the dry land came up out of the waters. There may have been one planet or one continent, and at the flood they all divided. That sounds good, but we don't have that written by God. So let's just stay with what God says. If there was only one continent at first, one landmass at first, would it have been easier for two of every kind to get to the ark? Just something to think about. Vegetation, plant life now comes. Two things are created on day three. The earth, the dry land, and vegetation. Verse 11, God said it was good into verse 10. What He saw, He liked. And of course, everything God creates and everything God does is right. It's perfect. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. On day three, God spoke again and commanded the land to produce all kinds of vegetation. If you and I again had been there to witnesses, we would have seen the grasses come up out of the out of the earth and cover the ground coverings of the earth. We would have seen tall oak trees and tall palm trees. We would have seen apple trees and fruit trees galore. We'd seen shade trees. We'd seen small bushes and large bushes. All of it would have sprung up out of the dry earth. We would have seen all types and colors of flowers beginning to bloom, daisies and daffodils and roses and orchids, bluebells and sunflowers, and on you list your favorite flowers. Bushes and trees were also formed in all sizes and shapes, and the branches of the trees that bore seed had fruit, heavy with fruit, ready to eat fruit. You know, the squirrels love to eat this acorns off of this acorn tree, this oak tree out here. And there's in the daytime, you can just hear them dinging on the cars that park under there for shade. And the squirrels run in to grab them because it usually cracks them open. The squirrels love these acorns. Well, God on day three created oak trees that had fruit ready. So when the animal life is created, it's there for them. They don't have to wait on it. Then those that eat green vegetation, it is already on the limbs and on the branches and it's ready to eat. High in the trees for the giraffes and low down for the smaller animals. It has, those fruit trees have large, juicy fruits ready to be plucked to be eaten. Not having to wait for the sun to come and to ripen that fruit. No, it's created ready for God's creation. The apple trees and the mangoes and the oranges and on you could go. God made the first plants fully grown, mature plants. But each kind with its own particular seed, it says. Notice again in verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. God created on day three mature plant life. But it had seeds after its kind so it could reproduce. This was so that they could not only reproduce themselves, but they would be food for the creation to follow. Grapevines did not have fruit on it that had seeds that changed into mangoes. Peanuts did not grow and you pluck the peanuts and they're coconuts. It's after its kind. Earth was now a beautiful place. God has created a lush environment. God looked at all he had done, and he was pleased. What he saw, he declared as good, perfect. It fit into his plan. What we have seen in the first 3 days of creation is actually we have had three divisions or three separations. On the third day of creation, the third separation is a division accomplished by God of dividing the water to bring up the dry land. But if you go back to day one, we have light, and it's been divided from the darkness. It's been separated from the darkness, a division or a separation. The waters on day two, the waters above the firmament were divided from the waters below the firmament, a division or a separation. And now on day three, the dry land was divided or separated from the waters under the heaven, the lower waters. In each event of separation, the Lord spoke. He was the divider. He was the separator. There was no earthquakes. There was no volcanoes. There was no great cataclysmic events here. God created a perfect creation. All those things come later. That's at the flood. But what God is doing here in the week of creation is creating a perfect world. The third day separation goes beyond those separating the water and the dry land. What's going to happen if we could look at God's creations through a microscope and even go into the atomic levels of what God is actually doing? There are tremendous chemical reactions taking place on day three. A complex number of minerals and rocks which make up our earth are varied in their density, in their weight, in their structure, in their composition. And all of this is taking place in this week of creation. You know, the earth has a crust, the upper level where we walk. The earth has a mantle. The earth has a core. The materials that God spoke into vision and separation in these 3 days of creation form this complex matter that we have in each of these levels. You go over here into Johnston County and you're going to see a rock structure that's going to be different than when you go over to Asheville. When you go further out towards the Great Plains, you're going to see a different rock structure. You go to the Rocky Mountains, you're going to see a different rock structure. You go over around the world, you're going to see different rock structures, different minerals. All of this is taking place in these divisions and separations during these 3 days. And when God divides and when God separates by His spoken word, of course, gravity has been created. And what we have is heavy materials going lower than the lighter materials that are upper and higher. If we consider all the natural resources that have been discovered over thousands and thousands of years by man, now, not all were created during the week of creation. Some are going to take great pressure. Some are going to take great force. Some are going to take great heat. Some of these come during the flood era, during the events of the flood, the upheavals, the uprisings, the pressures of land movement, the water pressure forcing down on the earth. But if we consider things like gold, the earth has all the gold it's ever going to have. God's not going to create anymore. Now, in heaven, He's going to create. Heaven is paved with gold. The streets are paved with gold. But on our planet, there is not going to be any more creation of gold. It happened during the first 3 days of creation. How about silver? How about copper? How about nickel? How about platinum? And on we could go on these precious minerals, these resources that are so valuable to mankind. They were all created during these separations, these divisions, this complex matter that's going on that we don't even think about is going on behind the scenes. Additionally, on day three, there are different blankets of soil created. Johnston County is a great example. You can be in a field across the street from your home, and it can be a sandy field. Nothing will grow there. Maybe soybean. Soybean don't need much of anything. Then you go to your next door neighbor's house. You cross the street back towards your side of the street, and you go to your next door neighbor's house, and he's got red clay. Praise the Lord for Johnston County's red clay, right? Especially if you have a light-colored carpet. Well, we have neighbors like that. And you come to our yard, and God has blessed our yard. It's like black topsoil. And everybody's like, what in the world? It's like, I don't know, but God blessed this earth. We didn't get the clay, praise God. And we didn't get the sand. I grew up at the beach. I don't want any more sand in the house. And God blessed us with black, almost like topsoil. You put a plant in the ground and it grows. It's like, praise God, no green thumbs here. It just grows. Blankets of soil types are created during this process of separation and division during day three. And all the fertile soil, because it's all fertile, because God looked at it and it's all good. The sand, the silt, the rich soils, they're ready for cultivation. They're ready for reproduction. They're ready for God's creation to come. It's just a sunset and a sunrise away. But it's already prepared for them. That's God. The precious stones like rubies and emeralds and sapphires and diamonds, these come from what we said earlier of great pressures and great heat and great constrictions. This comes later at the flood, with the land movements, the volcanoes and the upheavals. On day three of creation, the land area, as far as the earth is concerned, was really probably just right. Just what God's creation's going to need. No bigger, no smaller. It was perfect. Whatever that land mass was in dimensions and size, it was perfect. But the dry land that came up on day 3 and verse 9 and 10, the dry land was pristine, without fault, without dangers, no sinkholes, no deep trenches, no crevasses, no volcanoes. It was pristine. God had created a perfect land. Sin hasn't entered it yet. It was flawless, prepared for God's living creation. But what's interesting, as we've noticed in verses 11 through 12, is that these vegetation life, this plant life, is created with seed, is created with fruit. When the Bible states, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, the dry land was created and formed with age. You know, when man is created with age. When our planet is created, it's created with age. We haven't got to sun, moon, and stars, and I'll give you a little precursor. When the stars are out there in our universe, which are going to come soon, the light from that star has got to travel thousands upon millions upon light years, the light of it to reach Earth so that we can see it. When Adam is created on day 6, he can look up and he can see the stars. We don't have gap theory. We've talked about that. There's no millions and billions of years here in between these days of creation. So what God has done is he's created everything with age. So he's created the stars with age, and so their light is already on earth that we can see it. It's amazing what God has done. It's created and formed in such a way that it started bringing forth its vegetation. Does it say here that God created the plant life? That's not what it says. Notice it again in verse 10, or verse 11. And God said, he's a creative act here, let the earth bring forth grass. He doesn't create the grass on the dry land. He says to bring forth, come up. The seed has already in the dry land. It's already been planted by God. It's already there. And it's already there by age. So when God says, come forth, like Jesus tells Lazarus to come from the grave, when he tells the grasses and the herb-yielding seeds and the trees and the fruit-bearing trees to come forth, they're just popping up out of the earth. Can you imagine standing there and all of a sudden a pineapple, no, not a pineapple tree. That would hurt if it fell on your head, wouldn't it? Good thing they're on the ground. What's a big fruit? A coconut. Imagine standing there and a coconut tree that shoots up out of the ground 10 feet in the air and it pops out all these coconuts ready to be eaten. They're not green, they're brown, they're ready. That's what God did. It must have been astounding. That's probably why man's not here yet, because we'd be like, what in the world? We'd have passed out from shock. I'm joking. God had prepared the land. Even though it's under the water, God had prepared the land with a provision of fertility. The seed was already planted. God commands the earth to basically sprout the vegetation. And it says in verse 11, and it was so. Just immediately as God said it, it happened. So, dry land with nothing. Well, first, water with nothing else. Then dry land. And then God says, bring forth, and poof. It's all there. Plants which yield seed, fruit which does the same, each according to its kind. God's perfect divine plan. Nothing out of place. As we read, we note that each plant yields seed according to its kind. In other words, a rose does not produce a seed capable of growing a pine tree. That would be odd to see. God is a God of order, not of chaos. God commands not only that the plants come forth, but that they are prepared to continue to come forth. They have the seed to regenerate themselves. I got a bad echo, guys. They have got this seed that is coming up, and this seed is ready not only to bear fruit, it's ready to reproduce. God's not going to have to do a second calling forth of grasses and herb-yielding bushes and plant life and trees. No, they're ready to reproduce on their own. Mature. We'll see later that God commands the same standard for each of the living creatures he's going to create to be fruitful and multiply. The continuation of a species is made possible because God has declared it to be so. And it is. Additionally, God is creating on day three food for the living creatures that are not here yet. Notice how he lovingly prepares the living space for his creation, not only establishing the ability for each plant to reproduce itself and to be widely available, but creating those things which will be used to sustain the creatures to come. God does not create the ox and then create the food for the ox. He creates the things necessary for the ox before the ox. Air to breathe, Plant life needs nitrogen. We looked at that last week, and carbon dioxide and oxygen. God did that before He created plant life, as well as life, or light. It is significant to notice that the plant life created on day three were not seeds. They were full grown with seeds. They were not created as seedlings, but fully grown and mature plants and trees bearing fruits and seeds and ready to reproduce. As children, we had more time on our hands. We get into our adolescent years and our time starts to be busy. We get into our young adult years and time seems to be even busier. We get into our mature adult years and we're like, where did time go? We get into our senior years and we're like, I wish I had a little more time. But we need to take a moment and we need to admire God's handiwork on day three. The grasses, the mosses, the fungi, they are ground coverings. The beautiful flowers that cover the meadows and the fields and the landscapes. The bushes and the trees that produce fragrances and greenery and wonderful woods and fruits for our enjoyment. All were created on day three. And verse 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. This is truly amazing. To create mature life with the seed in it to reproduce itself already. The fruit was made as food for man and animal. The seed inside the fruit was made of God that it might reproduce and bring forth more fruit. Finally, as noted on days 1 and 2, God looks upon all that He has done. From day 1 through day 3, He looks at all that He has done. He says, it is good. It's just how He intended. It's perfect. It's excellent. It's pleasing. And of course, we come to our familiar saying in verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. 3 literal days have now passed, and God has created the heaven, the earth, light, land, seas, air, atmosphere, plant life, grass, vegetation, trees, all that exist or has ever existed was created here in 3 days. God did that. My God did that. Your God did that. The architect we know as Frank Lloyd Wright was not always an architect. He has built some, designed some amazing houses and properties around the world. But he once told an incident that had significance to his life as a young man. It influenced him for the rest of his life. The winter, he was 9 years old. He went walking across a snow-covered field with his uncle, who was no-nonsense, reserved, straight to the point, man of action. Get from point A to point B. As the two of them set out through the snow on their walk, they're walking towards the far fence post. And as they reach the far fence post, the uncle stops and he looks back at the tracks through the snow. And he tells young Frank Lloyd Wright to look at the tracks in the snow. Notice, he said, my tracks, the larger footprints in the snow, are straight, narrow path, true to a course. We went from one point to another point, and it's as straight as an arrow, no nonsense, no cutting up, no side trips, straight. He says, now look at your tracks. They're here and there and then over there and back here and then over there. They're to the woods and to the cows and to the ditch and to the trees and back to the path and then back to the cows and to the ditch and then back to the path. Meandered everywhere. He says, notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle to the woods and the path and back again. And now look at my tracks. Direction, aim, focus, have a goal. Get from here to there in the shortest amount of time. There's an important lesson for you, Frank, here, in these footprints. Years later, the world-famous architect liked to tell how this experience contributed to his philosophy of life. It greatly impacted his life at age 9. For the rest of his life, these lessons shown by his uncle impacted him. And he set a course in his life to follow this. He says, reflecting back on this story, I determined right then, at 9 years old, I'm going to make a philosophy for my life. My philosophy for life is, I'm not going to miss a thing like my uncle did. I'm going to go here and there, back and forth, look at it all and see it all. My question is, what are we missing in life? What are we passing by? Are we rushing here and there and missing God's creation? That's a beautiful creation. I've had the great privilege and opportunity to travel across our country multiple times in a car. A couple times in a train, once in a bus. That wasn't too much fun. We have a beautiful country. From the plains and the grasslands to the Rockies and the Grand Tetons to the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean to the Smoky Mountains and to the Blue Ridge Mountains and to the sea oats on the sand dunes of our coast. We have a beautiful land. You go overseas and you see the wonders of God's creation. It was all created perfect on day 3. Man messed it up. Sin. I know our lives are busy. My life is busy too. But sometimes I like to slow down. I like to stop and look at the clouds. Remember those days you used to point out things to your significant other of a cloud and what it looks like? I hope you did that. We did that courting. Look at that. Over here. You ever stop and smell a flower? I don't recommend smelling roses. I think they stink. But some other fragrances and flowers and plants are just wonderful fragrances, better than any perfume or cologne. You ever sat down under a tree and just looked out over the landscape? I know as children we used to sit down and watch the ants. Put barriers in the way and watch them get over this barrier. And I'm sure none of y'all were as mean as I was, but put a firecracker in the ant hole and light the firecracker. And see, a day later, they got a brand new ant hill and it's bigger than the other. And they're probably going, yeah, try it now. Or you put, I know y'all didn't do this. This is my mean childhood. Put jelly or honey all over a little army man. You know those little green army men you used to get? Put it, just fill it with jelly or honey and stand it right on the anthill. That thing is covered in moments. That's fun to watch. I tell you, it's just great entertainment. It's better than anything you'll see on TV. Just don't let them get in your shoes. Right now, you can look out your window, especially if you have trees in your yard, and you can watch the squirrels. They are active. I don't know what winter's coming, bringing, but the squirrels are active. You ever watch a sunset? You ever seen a sunrise? Oh, I can't get up that early. They're worth it. Over the mountains, over the beaches, oh my goodness. One of the best sunsets I ever saw. I was in the middle of the Persian Gulf. We were days from land. No land in sight. Our land stinks. When you get outside on the ocean or on the seas away from land, you look back and you see the brownness of our land and the cloud of pollution, and you get out and it's fresh air and it's clean and it's refreshing. And when the sun sets or the sun rises in the ocean or in the seas, oh, it's a gorgeous sight. Colors you don't see on land. We need to take time in our busy life to slow down and enjoy what God has created. One day it's going to be all burnt up. Then we get a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be better than what we see now. But until then, let's take time to enjoy what God has created. For He did it for us. You'll be glad you did. It'll help your health. It'll help your relationships. It'll help your stress level. Just slow down and enjoy what God has done. It's beautiful. You get a chance to go and see other parts of the country. Take it and go see what God has created. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. We've always held it off until we could go together. But one day we're going to make it to the Grand Canyon, Lord willing, and see it together. As they say, it's just truly phenomenal. Take time to see what God has created for you and for me. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your creation. I can't wait to see the new heavens and the new earth. But until that day, let us take time to slow down and to rejoice and to be thankful and to praise Your holy name for what You have created. It's a marvelous creation. Thank You for creating the dry land, bringing it up out of the waters. Thank You for creating all the vegetation of life that we enjoy. Thank You for having a plan, a perfect plan. Help us to continue to see that it was Your plan, not something science has concocted up, not something that mankind has made. This is truly from You. What a gift. Help us enjoy it. We praise Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.